Well, welcome to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 24, and I know that you all talked about verses 10 through 12, but I think there's a few more things to say about that. So let's read that together again. And the son of an Israelitess woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitess woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitess woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them.
We talked about this a little bit in the last sessions. It was closing down. But I want to reiterate something here. What the King James Version uses the word he cursed, okay? And so if you look that up, actually, in the Hebrew, it's not what you think it is, per se, all right? In reality, the man, the Israelite man, slandered and mocked the name of the Lord. You with me? And if you look at the context of this, it will help you understand that. And he goes on to say, you know, what tribe he was from Dan. And so when this happens, Moses is told about this, and so Moses does not have a written law of what to actually do with this man. And so he, in modern day terms, he puts him in jail, okay, until he can find out the mind of the Lord. In other words, Moses goes to God, what do we do with man, this man, rather than to act presumptuously, okay? And so he goes to the Lord to get his instruction. Now, this is something good for us. You know, the Bible will give us principles, but there are certain details that, you know, in life you just don't see in black and white, you understand? And so we go to the Lord. Lord, what do I do here? How do I handle this? You know, you get into all kinds of situations and circumstances. Lord, how do I handle this? And this is basically what Moses did. And so the Lord gives him an answer.
And one of the things we talked about in the office today, and I think you guys hit on this last session, was the difference between curse and cuss. And we spent some time looking up the word, the blaspheme, the curse. And it means, if I wrote it down, made light of God, defamed God. I want you just to stop and think how often that happens today, where people make light of God, make light of His name. You know, when you're making light of that name, you're saying the name to where it's not producing. I told Pete today about an experience we had driving. It was dark. We were in the different country. There weren't lines on the road. One of the lanes had been closed. We were crossing a bridge. And I, as Pete would say, just had the car pointed. And I called out, Jesus. And in my heart, he knew it was a cry for help. I needed help. I needed him to drive that car for me and get us across that bridge safely. And he did. But you think how many times his name is used without a heart of help me, without a heart of save me, but in vain, to where it's not even producing, just in vain. People will be flippant about what they say, and they'll say, oh, in their everyday talk, that's using the Lord's name without it producing. That's using his name in vain. And we can be so flippant about that. To me, this is a lesson for us. Now, this young man, he slandered and he mocked. But I think about how when we take liberties with some things, it becomes easier to take more liberties. You cross one line, it's real easy to cross another. And you can say, oh, I'd never do that. Would you? And so I think we need to be mindful of our speech. We need to be mindful what's coming out of our mouths. When we call on the name of the Lord, when we say his name, are we speaking it so his name will produce? When we say God, are we saying his name with reverence, with such awesome respect? When I say God, I think of Father. I think of Creator. I think of Provider. My Protector. He's my Corrector. So, I try to be real careful about saying his name. We all should be very careful. You know, our words produce. Let's not be saying words in vain. And most definitely, let's be mindful how we use the Lord's name. Let's be mindful how we use God, our God, the Creator of the universe and heaven and earth and everything that we see in it. Let's be mindful. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. You can say, oh, this, this, and this, and this, but there's going to be a time where your mouth will betray you. So if you're holding the Lord in high esteem, the lover of your soul, your Redeemer, your Protector, your Provider, your everything, my life and my light, well, that name means a whole lot to me. And it should to you. Amen. All right. Let's look at 13 and go through 16. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemed the name of the Lord, shall be put to death.
So in verses 14 and 16, God's giving Moses the answer, where he's asked, what do we do with this man? And so the Lord is giving him specifics. You take him outside the camp. Now note this, there have to be witnesses. in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, right? You don't just kill a man off of one witness. And so he says, take all those who heard him and have them to lay their hands on his head as a witness, thus a witness against him. And then afterwards, all the congregation of Israel is to stone him or execute him. Okay? So this is the instruction that the Lord is given to Moses. And he said, every man will be accountable for his sin. In other words, there has to be an accountability. You didn't have lawyers representing you trying to plea bargain. That's not God's way. And you're not going to have one when you stand before the judge, I can promise you that, okay? And so you have your witnesses, and he says, stone him until he dies. And then he went on to say, there's one law. If he's an Israelite by birth, or if he's a foreigner, the law is the same. There's not one set of rules for one ethnic group, another set for another ethnic group, and all this type of thing. Everybody follows the same law. Okay? That's the fair way to do things. And then he said, you let everybody know that anyone who slanders or mocks the Lord is to be killed. Now, this was under the old covenant. Okay? If it were not for Jesus' mercy and what he's done, you'd have mass executions today. You understand? For the number of people who slander and mock God. But God in his mercy is trying to save them. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. What did he come to do? Save the world, right? So right now, he's the Savior. Now, how are we going to respond to the Savior? If we don't respond favorably to the Savior, then we're going to face the judge in an unfavorable manner. Okay?
That's really miraculous what the Lord has done. You know, we read this, and I hear God say, you take care of this problem. You take care of it. You deal with it right now. And then I can't help but think about the woman caught in adultery. The religious leaders were saying, okay, Jesus, you take care of this problem right now. You take care of her. And what does he do? Bends down. Go and sin no more. What a merciful God we serve. Go and sin no more. So if you're one of those people that have absentmindedly taken the Lord's name in vain, go and sin no more. May today and every day forward be a time where you're mindful of your tongue. Go and sin no more. We have a merciful God. But you know what? He takes care of the issues. He takes care of things. He hasn't changed.
So here's the thing. God has not changed. You understand, from the old covenant to the new covenant, God has not changed. But here's what you have to realize. This man had nobody to act as a substitute to bear his sin.
He didn't.
Jesus died for the sin of all humanity. So he bore that sin on him and the penalty for that sin. And so in a case like this today, Jesus has died. He has been executed.
Yeah.
In other words, God's judgment is not different, okay?
Right.
That has to be executed. But Jesus has done it. But a person has to receive what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
Or he'll bear the penalty in the end. If you don't accept the substitute, then you're going to have to bear the sin.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
But it's not that God changed his mind. Not at all. He punished all sin in Jesus. But only those who receive Jesus get the benefit of that substitute. Otherwise, you bear your own sin.
I thank the Lord for my substitute.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Verse 17. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death.
Now, this almost sounds like a parenthetical here, but God has given Moses the instruction concerning this guy, and then God says anyone who kills another person is to be put to death. Now, we know from other parts of the Bible, the law, that if it was an unintentional killing, there were cities of refuge, right?
Yeah.
But you had to follow the protocol to be protected in the city of refuge. What he's talking about here is someone intentionally killing someone else. Then that person to be put to death. They're not to be given life in prison.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah.
Once the judgment is passed, it is executed promptly. You with me? And if we would do that today, you'd get rid of the crime problem, because it wouldn't take long for people to catch on to the fact this is not worth it. It's not worth dying for. You with me? And then he says anyone who killed an animal had to make restitution for the dead animal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got to keep all this in context, because they killed the animals for sacrifice, right?
Right.
No, this is talking about if you kill somebody else's animal, then you're going to have to pay for that animal that you killed. You'll have to make that good. So keep it all in context, okay? In other words, you're responsible for your actions.
Right.
And you're still responsible for your actions.
Okay. Verse 19. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again.
So this, the Levitical law, whatever you did to a person, if you injured a person, you put out an eye, then your eye was put out. Or you knocked out a tooth, then your tooth's knocked out. You get to the seventh chapter of Matthew, chapters 5 through 7, where Jesus is given what's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. He said, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say,
right.
Here's a transition, okay? Now, how could he say that? It's not that the law's changed. It's more the punishment for a law. You with me? And so what he is showing you is the transition from law to grace, the transition from the man bearing the judgment on himself to the man getting grace because Jesus bore the judgment. You follow me?
Yeah.
And so, it's not, you did me wrong, I'll do you wrong. Jesus is saying the very opposite. You do to them like you want them to do to you, not the way they do to you.
Right.
You set the pace. You set the example. In other words, you sow mercy, you receive mercy. Amen?
Amen.
You want mercy? Then you better show mercy. Okay?
I want mercy. Verse 21. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it. And he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death.
This is just really a reiteration. You killed an animal, you had to restore it. If you killed a man, it was capital punishment. You were put to death.
Now, I've got a little note written down here. What the Lord is requiring is just retribution. But as we keep reading in the Old Testament, we're going to find this is just retribution between the person that committed the offense and the one that was violated. You know, the son didn't have to pay for the father's sins, and the father didn't have to pay for the son's sins. We're talking about, right now, the Lord is speaking on the one who violated and the one who had been violated.
A man's responsible for his own actions.
Right.
You know, if you really look at this in this Levitical law and understand, Jesus said he came to fulfill the law. Not part of it, all of it. And he said it would all be for heaven and earth will pass away, but his word's not going to pass away. And he said every jot, every tittle will be fulfilled in this law. Okay? So when you look at this and you compare that to the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and how he has borne all that judgment, the sin, the judgment, the penalty, and how he was executed in the most horrible way you can imagine, that ought to make you appreciate Jesus.
Yeah.
To where we can accept him and be acquitted because he did it for us. So he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. He removes the sin as far as the east is from the west. And if that don't make you appreciate Jesus and what he's done for you, I don't know what will.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen. Verse 22, you shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for your own country, for I am the Lord your God.
Now, here again, he's reiterating, there's not a double standard.
Right.
There's not a law for the citizens and a law for the foreigners. It's the same law for everybody. In other words, you're punishing the crime because of the crime, and who you are or where you came from is irrelevant. You follow me? One law for everybody.
Here's what I see in this. Is God is looking for unity. He's wanting his people to be united. And when you divide, a country, you pit one person against the other, a house divided can't stand.
Well, it's favoritism.
It is.
You're showing partiality.
Can't do that.
And I can tell you that the church is one body.
Right.
God's not looking at what country you're born in or what ethnic group you're in or anything like that. If we are born-again believers, then we're all members one of another. That gets rid of division and all this garbage that you're hearing today. It's not that one person is more important than another. It's not that one gender is more important than another or one race is more important than another. We're all a new race of people through Jesus Christ. And that is the same race. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of us in here naturally can trace our lineage back to Adam.
Yeah.
If you're truly born again, we all trace our lineage to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
There is no division. He broke down the middle wall of division.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 23, and Moses spoke to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses.
Moses got the instruction earlier, along with these other instructions, and then Moses carries out the instructions of God. He tells the congregation what they're to do. They follow God's protocol. They take this man outside the camp. The witnesses have to lay their hand on his head, and then the congregation. It's interesting that they took him outside the camp, not inside the camp. Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. You follow me? And so here is what today we would call you make an example out of someone. That should tell everybody else, you don't want to slander God. You don't want to... Amen.
Amen. We have talked about how all of this points to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I can't help but think about is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. There's no other way. The same way for the Jew, the same way for the Greek or the Gentile, Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter if you're a stranger, you're going to have to come through Jesus.
And this refutes a lot of the teaching that, well, what about a person in this country and what about a person in that country? God's looking at your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if your heart is toward God, God will put you in contact with Jesus through somebody. But there is only one way. You understand? There's not many ways, Father God. Jesus said you can't come to Him. You have to go through me. You understand? I am the way to the Father is actually what He's saying. I'm the truth. You want eternal life? It'll have to come through me. And if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have eternal life. You have eternal separation from God. You have eternal existence, but not eternal life. Eternal life is the life of God. You with me?
Now, the other thing that I see in this, and this may be obvious to y'all, is that we just read in that 23rd verse, the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They did as the representative of God had spoken to them to do. There are times in all of our lives where we have to do things that the Lord asks us to do that are uncomfortable. I think about this mama whose son that they were stoning. That was probably not an easy thing for her to have to do. But we have to make a decision. We have to choose. Are we going to follow the Lord with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul? Are we going to love Him above all else to where we're willing to put our flesh aside? To do what He's asking us to do in our own hearts? To me, that's a profound statement that was made here. The children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Oh, if they had only done that every time the Lord had commanded them to do something. Oh, but if I had only done what the Spirit of God had commanded me to do every time, I would have saved myself a lot of hurt and a lot of trouble. But I'm not the only one, am I?
It's always been a life of faith. God says it.
Yeah.
You trust God. That He's right. It's the best thing to do. And so you do this in faith. Do you understand? This execution of this man is not vindictive.
Mm-mm.
It's following a mandate of God. You with me? And so people don't know the difference between murder and execution. Murder comes out of a malicious heart.
Yeah.
This right here is to spare a nation. So where the nation is walking in the ways of God. Remember, God said, I want you to be a peculiar nation, a different nation. I don't want you to be like any nation on earth. And so he gave this law of Moses that was different than any ruling body any nation had, to where they were distinctly different. God has given to the church, the body of Christ, the Word of God and the Spirit of God to make us distinctly different from all the other people on the earth who are not in the body of Christ. You understand? We're to follow the ways of God. Now, your flesh may not like what God's Word is saying, but you have to trust that the Father is always right.
Right.
And the flesh is never right.
That's right.
You understand? Yeah. And so we have to put our faith in the Lord. This is the way. Walk in it. This is the way. And so when Moses tells the people what God says, they have to believe God said it.
Mm-hmm.
Then they have to believe it enough to carry out the mandate that's been given to them. It's the same way with us. We have to believe God is saying, and then we have to carry out the instructions that God is giving us. And a lot of people don't want to do it. Well, I don't believe it's God. You understand? And so, you know, sometimes the Lord will deal with me, about something. Somebody can come to me and the Lord just drops something in my heart to tell them, well, I don't believe that's God. Well, that's not going to change whether or not it's God. It's going to change your outcome. You can't excuse it by denying it. You understand? Mm-hmm. Denying it doesn't make it go away.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You can deny it on the outside, but inside, you've got all kinds of evidence against you, and that's what God's looking at. You with me?
Yeah.
So we have to come clean with God. And if we're wrong, Lord, I blew it, I sinned, I'm asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah.
But if I'm in denial and refuse to admit it, you ever been there? Lord, deal with you and you don't admit it? Yeah, well, you're going to be miserable if you don't deal with it, because it'll always be coming back and haunting you.
Yeah.
Now, I've had the Lord speak to me about something, and no, I'm not guilty. Yeah, right. So is God lying? No, God's not lying. You are. You're in denial. I was in denial. I didn't want to admit that I was guilty of what He was saying I was guilty of. But thank God, He kept dealing with me, and I finally admitted it. And then I had to do something about it. It's not just admitting your guilt. Now you've got to follow through with the instructions He's given you. And sometimes it may feel like that's egg in your face or whatever, but you just have to suck it up and do it. You understand? Because the end result is it's in your best interest. And I can tell you that worked out in my best interest. But if you just stay in rebellion and refuse to believe, then it's always going to be haunting you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get off the hook. It's not going to go away. You have to deal with it. Amen?
Amen. Chapter 25. You ready to move on?
Okay.
Chapter 25 records laws regarding the Sabbath year, the year of Jubilee, redemption of property, lending to the poor, and slavery.
Now, before you get into it, let me go back and just make sure that we understand Sabbath, okay?
Okay.
We know that 6 days, creation, 6 days God worked. The seventh day God rested. We know that in the law, they were allowed to work 6 days and were told not to work on the seventh day. They were to rest, okay? Then we get into a Sabbath year, which meant that every seventh year, there had to be a release of those in debt. It was the way God balanced the economy. Then you'll find that every 50 years, there was a release of the debt, and you went back, all your possessions were returned to, you got your property back. Well, that kept everything balanced to where one person can't get over here and get powerful and rule the world. You with me? I'm telling you, God's smart. And it'll behoove us to yield to His intelligence, right?
Amen to that.
Well, I've been signaled that our time's up, so we're not going to get into the chapter, but you can go ahead and read that 25th chapter and get a head start on this, okay?
Okay.
Father, I thank You that You bless us indeed, to enlarge our territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make Your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up Your countenance upon us and You give us peace. So, Lord, we invite You to rise up, let Your enemies be scattered, and those who hate You be before You. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great rest of the week.